everybody. This is Brother Paxton. I'm here in Rockbridge County at the Timber Ridge Presbyterian Church compound here. And I wanted to talk to you just for a moment about spiritual vision. Spiritual vision falls up under two categories. Actually, there's probably more, but two that we're going to deal with. One is a spiritual vision, meaning insight into the things of God, insight into the things of the Spirit, and also the vision for your life that you receive from God. That has to be a spiritual situation, that you're receiving vision for your life. A lot of folks, they seem to say, you know, nowadays, here's the vision God has given me, here's the vision God has given me. And I always like to get to know people a little bit, because there are some scriptural guidelines before we can clarify a spiritual vision. Number one, spiritual vision is given in answer to prayer. So how much time you spend in prayer, while it doesn't earn you any righteousness with God, it certainly does prepare your heart for that spiritual vision to be imparted by the Lord. Let's read a verse of scripture here from 2 Kings chapter 6, verse 17. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. Spiritual vision. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. So he saw this as direct result of prayer. Lord, open their eyes. Lord, open my eyes. Lord, we want to see. In this case, it was to see the angels of God and the chariots of fire, where he would later say there's more with us than there is with our enemy. And sometimes we cannot see that in the natural, but when we pray, God gives us spiritual vision, and how important that is, praise God. Spiritual vision is also used by the Lord to prepare us for the afflictions of life that we're going to encounter. Let's read another verse. It says in Job 42:5, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye seeth thee. So a lot of times we understand and we begin to get understanding and wisdom and perspective on the various afflictions of our life as a result of spiritual vision, something that God shows us. It has to be spiritual, because in the natural we can only see what pertaineth to the natural. And if we want to see what God has prepared, we need a spiritual vision. So it comes through prayer. It comes to show us the afflictions that we need to prepare for. And sometimes that nugget of vision, that nugget of understanding from the Lord, is the very thing that prepares us for the affliction. Also, it's essential if we're to have true spiritual vision, whether it's to see into the realm of the Spirit, to see the things of God, the ways of God, etc., or a vision for our life, it's essential that we maintain heart purity. Heart purity is essential to spiritual vision. In Matthew 5 and 8, the Word of God says, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. So we begin to see God working in our circumstances more and more and more, the purer that our heart is maintained. You take some guy with an impure heart, and things are happening to him, and God's trying to work, and God's trying to move on his behalf, but he don't recognize it because his heart is impure. The purer your heart is, then you can say, hey, I see God was working in this. I see what God is doing in this situation. Praise God. So heart purity is essential for spiritual vision. Also, spiritual vision is something that believers alone possess. Spiritual vision is not given to the unsaved. This is for Christians, for children of God. Let's read John 14, verse 19. Here's what the Bible says. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more. Jesus was revealed and is revealed to the world to a point. But in a little while, just after a little bit, it seeth him no more. and seeth him no more. But you see me. He's talking to his followers. You see me. Hallelujah. And it says, because I live, you shall live also. So we see here that believers alone have the ability to possess spiritual vision. And we also see that spiritual vision gives us life. It gives us life in the spirit. Hallelujah. It gives our dreams life. It gives our ministries life. The more that we see the Lord. Praise God. Also, we understand that the Holy Spirit, the third person of the triune Godhead, the Holy Spirit, is the author of spiritual vision. John 16:14 says, He shall glorify me. The Holy Spirit is not here to glorify anything or anybody except Jesus Christ. He glorifies Jesus, for he shall receive of mine and will show it unto you. There's spiritual vision. In the 15th verse, it says, All things that the Father has are mine. Therefore, said I, that he shall take of mine and shall show it unto you. Spiritual vision. Also, we see that spiritual vision uses the telescope of faith. Wow. That's kind of an interesting terminology. Spiritual vision uses the telescope of faith. When you use a telescope, what does that do? You can see things that are far off away. You can see them. You can see them clearly. Sometimes in dealing with ministry, some of the things that I just know that I know that I know that I know that God is going to allow us to do, I have seen them 25, 30 years ago. But I've seen them through this telescope of spiritual vision, through faith. And we have to maintain that faith attitude, that faith posture. God, you promised me this. God, you said this. But we have to know first that it was really God and not just something that we dreamed up. God, you gave me this promise. You said this to me. I'm going to stand on it. I'm going to find the verses that back it up. And that's what I'm going to speak out of my mouth. And I'm going to see this spiritual vision. Hallelujah. Become a material reality in the kingdom. We're going to see kingdom motion as we stand in faith. Hallelujah to the Lord. Spiritual vision uses the telescope of faith. Let's look at Moses in Hebrews 11:27. It says, By faith Moses forsook Egypt. Egypt in Bible typology and allegory and all of this. Egypt is a type of the world. Christian, you and I need to forsake the world, the ways of the world, the spirit of the world, the entertainment of the world. We need to forsake the world, and we need to fear not the wrath of the kings of this world, but only fear God and walk in reverential awe of His miracle working power. Moses forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured. Oh, glory to God. That's the one thing that we want to see in our lives and ministries is, you know, after 36 years, he's still enduring. After 36 years, he's still holding to the promise. After 50 years, many of you, 60 years, some of you, of ministry, of Christian life and living, you're still holding to the promises of God, even if you haven't seen them manifest as yet, but you are enduring as seeing him. Him who is invisible. Hallelujah. That is invisible to the natural eye, but through spiritual vision, using the telescope of faith, we can see God. And we can see the vision for our lives and the vision for our ministry. And spiritual vision, finally, lastly for this morning, it looks heavenward. Spiritual vision looks heavenward. And it's amazing because you would think, okay, spiritual vision for something that God wants me to do in my life, I should look around, right? No. You look heavenward and you'll see the reflection of the kingdom back here on the earth when you gaze into His heavenly realm and into the beauty of the Lord. Let's read this verse and you'll see what we're saying. It's in Psalm 34 in verse 5. It says, They looked unto Him and were lightened. that didn't say enlightened, but you can infer that. We would say today enlightened. Old English says they looked to him and they were lightened. They received insight. They received the reflection of God's heavenly vision. They received it here on the earth when they looked heavenward. And then it also says that their faces were not ashamed. Don't ever be ashamed of following Jesus Christ. Don't ever be ashamed of what God's called you to do, because this world needs you. If God put it within you, then somebody out there today needs what He has put within you to give. Praise God. Psalm 123:1 says, "Unto thee I lift up my eyes, I look heavenward. I lift up my eyes, O thou that dwellest in the heavens." In John 11:41 it says, "Then they took away the stone from the place where the dead was laid, and Jesus lifted up his eyes." He looked heavenward. And he said, "Father, I thank thee that thou hast heard me." You and I can say that same thing today, especially because we're in Christ. And we have him as a constant intercessor and mediator on our behalf. We look to the heavens and we say, "Father God, I thank you that you're hearing my heart today. You're hearing my prayer today. And you are revealing yourself to me," because spiritual vision always looks heavenward. Hallelujah to God. In Acts chapter 1 verse 10, it says, "While they looked steadfastly toward heaven." Oh God, help us today to look steadfastly toward heaven. I can't be worried about what's going on over here. I can't be worried about what's going on behind me in my past. I'm looking steadfastly to heaven. And what happens when we do? Listen to this. "They looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up. Behold, two men stood by them in white apparel." These are the guys that says, "Why stand ye gazing into the heavens? The same Jesus that you've seen go away will so come again in like manner." So as we look to the heaven and as we receive spiritual vision, we maintain heart purity. We stand in faith and endure by faith. And the Holy Spirit is leading and guiding our lives. He will show us the soon coming of the Lord Jesus Christ deep within our spirits. It's not something I think is going to happen. It's something I know is going to happen. Jesus is going to return. Hallelujah. And in Acts 7:55, "But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly." He looked to heaven again. Spiritual vision looks heavenward. "He saw the glory of God, and he saw Jesus standing on the right hand of God." And of course, that was Stephen. Heavenly vision beholds the glory of things to come. And finally, our last verse of Scripture in Revelation chapter 22, verse 4. "And they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads." Now the forehead signifies vision also. So this entire process, from the moment we get saved, all through our Christian life, through the mountaintop experiences and through the valley experiences as well, the up times, the down times, the good times, the bad times, all of it, the sanctification process, for one reason in the end, we will see God. We will see his face, and his name will be written on us. Praise God. We belong to him today. So I want to encourage you as I close this little broadcast. Go to God and get the vision that he has from before the foundation of the world for your life. Sometimes it's a process that goes back to make sure you keep your heart pure. Make sure you keep purity of heart. Look through the telescope of faith all the days of your life and let the Holy Spirit lead you into the perfect will of God for you, because he has a will that's tailor-made for you, for your life. Let him lead you into it. He wants to. He desires to. It's absolutely not true that Some people God leads into the will for their life, and others He won't do it. That's not true at all. He wants to lead you and guide you into the perfect will that He has for your life. And you can let Him do that by yielding to the Holy Spirit today in Jesus' name. So from Rockbridge County, Virginia, the Timber Ridge Presbyterian Church in the background there, this is Evangelist Len Paxton saying, go with God, and He will go with you. Bless you, brother.